Hi, welcome back. In this video, we're going to discuss price ceilings and the misallocation of resources. Here, we just want to talk about a simple illustration of price controls, right, with higher demand, right? But with a price control, right, such as a price ceiling, right, you cannot go above a certain price no matter what the demand is. So the government can set a price, right, and they can say this is the ceiling, and no company can charge more than this price, right? So it's a ceiling, it's a top. We can't go above this price, no matter the demand. So this can lead to misallocation of resources, right? Because they can see that demand to be equal because prices are capped, right? So then the resources may get misallocated to not go into the higher demand areas, right? So you can see how this flows out, right? Like in sunny California, they're pumping oil, they have the oil, they're flowing it to the snowy Northwest, and they may not get all of the oil that they need because there is no demand control mechanism, right? There's no way to actually allocate the resources because there is no demand mechanism, right? Because the price is capped, right? So we don't see the sliding scale like we would in other opportunities. So this leads to distorted price signals, cause resources to be misallocated, right? So let's look at this graph, okay? So so price control prevents the highest valued uses from outbidding lower valued uses, right? So you can't bid up the price if there's a price ceiling, right? So if I'm in New York and it's snowing and I need oil to heat my home and fuel my car, and I'm willing to pay $4 because we need more of it, right? The government says no, it's a $1 price ceiling, so now we're going to distribute it evenly, and demand doesn't matter anymore because no matter how much you need it, we're going to charge you the same price even if you're willing to pay more, right? So this leads to misallocation of resources. More demand needs to go up in the Northwest or the Northeast, but we're sending it to the Southwest because it doesn't matter. It'll be cheaper transportation costs for us, and we don't have to worry about shipping it to New York, and we can make more money that way with the controlled price ceiling, right? So it doesn't necessarily go to the highest valued uses, which is a consumer protection mechanism, right? Because in this case, oil is a much needed resource, right? And it's a limited amount. So governments may come in and set a price ceiling in order to protect their consumers. Because if it was a total free market and the price was, it's really, really cold up in New York and we need a ton of fuel, right? We may bid up the competition just to make sure that we receive the right amount of resources, right? But that with the price ceiling, that doesn't necessarily happen, right? It doesn't happen because there's no there's nothing that attributes to demand. So if you look at the graph, okay, you can see the demand curve, downward sloping, supply curve, upward sloping, right? So we're meeting here at equilibrium somewhere around $2, okay? But because there is a price ceiling, right, the quantity supplied is going to be limited, right? We're not going to be at equilibrium production because the price is too low, right? But because the price is so low, the demand is very, very, very high, right? So in this instance, the price ceiling is really hurting the consumer, right? Because we're not producing enough of the resource, in this case gasoline, right, to meet the demand in the market, right? So therefore it leads us to create a shortage in supply, right? And even though there's a shortage in supply, the price doesn't go up. It stays the same, right? But there are less producers willing to produce gasoline at $1 than there would be, obviously, at $4. Because if you notice that the supply curve is way out in the future, right, at $4, right? So we're willing, so companies are willing to produce a lot of gasoline at $4, but demand of $4 is here. So then we'd be oversupplied, right? So, but here, because the price ceiling, right, we are running at a deficit or a shortage. So now resources are misallocated because of the price ceiling, right? So we're not, we're not allocating out to the best uses of our resources, right? So the least valued uses, not willing to pay even control price, right? So down here is what I'm talking about, right? So the least valued uses, not even willing to pay the control price, right? There's no one wanting to pay for it down there, right? So what's maximum consumer surplus with the quantity supplied, right? So if the gasoline goes to the highest valued users, consumer surplus is given by the green area. So let's say all of the gasoline went to New York, right? And they had a $4 value on this gasoline because they needed it so much. But the price ceiling is at $1, right? So the consumer surplus, right, it's not necessarily a monetary figure, but it's a utility figure. It's the benefit. It's the marginal benefit, the marginal utility that they're going to get, or that they're going to receive from buying the gasoline at $1, because they value it at $4, right? So we're paying the $1 price. I value it at $4, so therefore I have this $3 marginal benefit that I receive in a consumer surplus, right? So that's good if we can receive the gasoline that we need if we're up in the Northeast, right? So here is a graphical indication of consumer surplus. So let's talk about the loss from random allocation, right? Because goods are not always allocated to the highest value uses, consumer surpluses will be less, right? Well, how much less? Let's do some reasonable calculations, right? First, we will consider how 1 gallon of gasoline might be allocated under the best and worst conditions for random allocation. So let's take a look, right? The loss from random allocation of 1 gallon. This is a best case scenario, right? So we still have the $1 price ceiling. We still have demanders at $4, right? Well, the best case scenario, the buyer with the very highest value use gets the gallon of gas, right? So the value is created at $4. Well, we see that the consumer surplus, again, is $3, but they're only able to get 1 gallon. It's random allocation, right? Because there's no demand driver. Demand does not mean anything because the price is controlled. So demand can be equal and all else equal, right? Because of the $1 price ceiling, right? So I'm not going to sell it to the highest bidder because I can't, right? So if I'm able to get this 1 gallon of gas, right, and I receive it at $1 and I'm willing to pay $4, now I've created a $3 consumer surplus again, but I'm only able to get limited quantities. In this case, 1 gallon. Now, the worst case scenario from random allocation, right? The buyer with the lowest valued use but still willing to pay control price gets the gallon of gas, right? So the buyer with the lowest valued use, right? We're talking about this area, right? So here, so they are the lowest valued use, right? Let's say they value the gasoline at 10 cents. Right, but they're getting the price that they're having to spend $1. Right, so there is no consumer surplus then, right? Because they're paying more than they want, but they have to have the price at $1. Right, so it created $1 in value, but the consumer surplus is zero. All right, so this is the equal probability scenario, right? Each gallon is allocated with equal probability to any buyer whose value is between $4 and $1. On average, buyers will value the gasoline at $2.50, right, on an equilibrium basis. So we'll see 1/2 times 4 plus 1/2 times 1, right? Because this is, we're trying to get the average value, right? So we're getting the average value. So our scenario, so now we'll have, this is our, under random allocation, the green block here, the green square, represents on an average value basis our consumer surplus, right, which is $1.50, which is still fine, right? We get our gasoline, the average value is $2.50, but our consumer surplus has kind of decreased a little bit because we're looking at it on an average basis. So you see the red, you see the red shape here, loss due to random allocation compared to what it would be if it was maximized, right? So now it's because it's randomly allocated and we're just distributing gasoline however we see fit. There's no coordination in our allocation. So now we are not going to be able to grab that consumer surplus, right, that added marginal utility or benefit, because it's at a random allocation, right? So, but this is, and at a random allocation, this is probably the best scenario possible, right? Because we are getting the allocation, and it's got probably a little more, coordination to it, right? It's got a little more coordination to it in this scenario. So price ceiling, a maximum price allowed by law, right? Rent control, let's say kilowatts in your electric, things like that, right? Anything that the government can put a price ceiling on to control prices to protect consumers, right? So five important effects of a price ceiling. One, as we pointed out in previous slide, a shortage, right? It created a shortage. There's so much demand that there's not enough supply. Therefore, demand doesn't matter and allocation is random. So how the resources are allocated is purely on randomness, right? So reductions in product quality, because we can only get a dollar of value. We're not going to spend a lot of money to make it a high quality product because we're getting very minimal return on that investment. Wasteful lines and other search costs, right? So we're wasting cash doing research and development for products that have no growth opportunity, right? A loss in gains from trade, this can create a deadweight loss, right, and obviously a misallocation of resources.